Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's going to be fucking up and writing 2015 for the next 3 months or so on everything because you're just so used to that. But by April, May, you'll be on board and writing 2016 appropriately and so on and so forth. But it is here. We've already had our first loss of the year, unfortunately. Natalie Cole passed away on Friday. She passed away yesterday. And then Sister Dr. Frances Cress Welson passed away today. Now, I put on Facebook, and I tweeted this as well, you know, let's not get lost in the sauce like we did when Michael Jackson passed away, because I believe, who was it? I think Farrah Fawcett passed away the same day. I got to Google that. But somebody passed away the same day, and her death was totally lost in the sauce because Michael Jackson passed away. Let's not get lost in the sauce with Dr. Frances Cress Welson. This lady was phenomenal. She was a sociologist and a psychologist. She wrote an acclaimed book called The ISIS Papers. If you don't have it, pick it up. It's a great book. It's a great read. And she is definitely going to be missed, without a doubt, 100. So I definitely wanted to shout her out. But that's not to knock what Natalie Cole meant to a lot of people either. You know, she was a very important figure in a lot of people's lives. She carried on the Cole legacy left by her father. She had her battles and her demons. However, she got herself together, and she was a force to be reckoned with once she got herself together. So, you know, mad shouts out to her. I saw a lot of dedication videos and texts and comments and likes and all type of stuff with her. She did some work. She and Whitney Houston were rather close, so a sad reunion, but I'm pretty sure they are enjoying their time united once again, so. That's what's up, you know what I'm saying? Death is always a time, though it is heavy. It is the equalizer because, you know, if nothing, we all know death. So I tend to do my best to celebrate it, as you all know, in about 2 weeks' time from now. That will actually be the anniversary of Audra leaving us. And I'm actually much better with that now. You know what I'm saying? And cuz, I appreciate you for stepping up, coming through, and helping me get through that. Cuz, you know, I was lost in the sauce for a while, dog. I mean, I was on the fence. I was struggling to put the show together, to stay focused on the show, because she was such a huge part of, she is such a huge part of the show, that it was difficult imagining doing it without her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, eventually it was going to happen. However, no one thought that was going to happen as soon as it happened. So that was definitely something that was huge for me. You know what I'm saying? And rebounding from that was and still is task. You know what I mean? But that's love, man, without a doubt. So the way I have tried to express it over and over again is through celebration, because every day is truly a gift, and you got to play it. You don't have to, but if you don't, you're cheating yourself, because you just don't, yeah. you never know. You know what I mean? You just never know when that day is your last day. So that's what's up. Cause new year for you. What's going on? New year, new things. What's going on?
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of big things going on in the year. Of course, you know, everybody have their quote unquote resolutions, but you know, I like to change it to just reinforcing everything I've started last year, continuing my transition out the military and into a new transition into politics. You know, this year I'll be running for constable for the 4th Precinct where I'm located. And, again, continue the community service that I started last year. Big things going on for myself and my family. And, again, just can't wait to, you know, see the results of it.
I disagree with everybody with the resolutions. Actually, I resolved to no longer do resolutions. I did that a couple of years ago, you know, because everybody lies. Like, this is January,
yeah.
So every gym right now is packed. Everybody's in the gym. They're all about weight loss. And today is the 2nd of January, right around Audra's anniversary, which is going to be the 15th. Yeah, everybody be out. You know what I'm saying? It'll be a good 2-3 weeks. Roughly by the end of January, the gym will start to thin out again. And definitely by Valentine's Day, it's going to be right back to normal, because, you know, all those newcomers are going to fall off like, yo, this is too much. You know what I mean? Like, what
yeah.
was I thinking? Yeah, I'm sweating too much. You know what I mean? Like, I got to bring extra clothes. That's extra laundry. Oh, my God. Yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, no, I resolve not to do any more resolutions. I'm done.
Well, I mean, that's what it boils down to, man. When you talk about resolutions, you know, especially with even something as it sounds so small as far as, you know, going to the gym and working out, it's a total lifestyle change. And you have to change a lot of things to allow you to be able to go to the gym on a regular, eat right. So it's not something you can just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to start doing this now, and it's done. No, it's an everyday thing that you have to do. You have to change your life in so many different ways. So it should be a goal. It should be a constant process that you have to, you know, navigate through and have it fit to your life the best way. So, again, I'm continuing the process of transition in every way of my life, you know. So it's going to be interesting this year.
That's what's up. Exciting show today. We're going to be joined by Millie in the City. She's going to come on because the process of the new year and resolving is one that a lot of us go through. It's one that a number of you all have gone through or are going through, in which you've lost anywhere from 100 pounds or more just when the clock struck midnight from 2015 to 2016. Damn, Skippy, somebody done broke up with somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I've
been waiting for the new year.
Probably more like 150 pounds on the average, you know.
To get rid of your ass, it is January 1st. Your ass got to go. You know what I'm saying? So definitely one of the realities of the situation. You know what I'm saying? Like 2016 for me, is in line with what you just said, because really it's just a continuation of things that I already set up and or that I know I need to do. Like, one of the things that I am looking at doing, again, I resolve to resolve to nothing, but I'm looking at doing is really limiting my social media time. And that's difficult because of what we do.
Yeah.
And people don't understand this. Like, why are you always on online looking at the news? And like, I have a show that, you know, has a Facebook page and has a Twitter account. And in order to stay relevant, because the show is all about the now, I have to know what's going on now, like the floodings that's going on down south right now. You know, Baton Rouge is damn near underwater right now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Got to know about that. You know, the military is asking for volunteers to do testing of MREs. Got to know about that. You know, they want you to do take a 21-day commitment to eat nothing but MREs so they can test what's tasty, what's not, why, so on and so forth. Now, as someone's, because both you and I have eaten those damn things, you know what I'm saying, that understand that plight, I'm in full support of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of damn calories, though, so it does not go along with the weight loss. Somebody needs to taste it. And like, I can't do it because, you know, they got the ham steak going there somewhere. I know that. And I don't eat pork, so I'm out of the running for that. But it's supposed to be 21 days of nothing but MREs. And some of those things are very delicious. Like, I used to love the beef franks with the potato sticks. Love that. I love the crackers, especially when I could get either the apple jam or even the grape, to be honest with you. I would crush it all together, put the grape jelly on it, and then eat it like that. Oh, man, that was a good treat. Even saying it out loud makes me hungry. That stuff was
bad boy.
So shut up. There was some good things along the way. Not a whole lot, but there were some good things along the way. And I'm hoping that for those who come behind me even further, because, you know, I've been out of the military now almost 20 years, that the choices get even better. Because, I mean, when you're out there humping and bumping, that's all you got to eat. You know, you can't stop and go to Chipotle or Chick-fil-A or south of the border or on the border, whatever. You're on the border. You can't go to on the border. Hey, none of that. You can't run into Costco and get a frankfurter or get a slice or anything like that. Ain't none of that.
Hey, but you can't get to a number 13 MRE, though. You know what I'm saying? You can get to a number 13, you get to a number 7. What was my favorite? Number 13, number 7, and I think a number 10 are my favorites, man. You know what I'm saying? You can act like it. You can, you know, act like you at McDonald's or something like that, or Taco
right.
Bell. You know what I'm saying? You can hook it up to yourself. You know what I mean? It's all about what your mind space is, where you at.
It's a challenge, and if anyone's up to the challenge, we put a link on the Facebook page to help out the military. So please look out for, you know, hey, one of the ways to support the troops, how about playing it like that? That's just another way to support the troops. You can always think about it like that. The other thing that I really wanted to get into, so I want to go back to the resolving not to do anything, to be honest with you. Because, if you want to do something, do it. Yeah, don't. We got to put things in place. I understand that. But if you're waiting for that perfect time, there will never be a perfect time. Like, there's never a perfect time to have a child. It isn't. It isn't. There's never a perfect time to have a child. But we have children. There's never a perfect time to change jobs. However, some of us lose jobs and we got to go out and get another one. You know, live, man. That is my message, I guess, for today. Just live. You know, step out on a limb, go ahead, make it happen. Because once you do that, if you are just, things will come to you to help you along the way. And the universe will make sure that you get to where you need to be. if you're stepping in harmony with it.
And I think the problem that a lot of people have is they want it to be perfect, like you were saying. You know, they want it to be the good time, and that's when you set yourself up and you start going through that mental turmoil because things aren't going the way you want them to go as far as the transition mm-hmm. is concerned, the process is concerned. It's, you know, sometimes it's going to be rough, you know, and you might find yourself second-guessing and questioning your decision-making. But if you're steadfast and you keep pushing, it will all line up the way you want it to line up. But, again, it's a process, and the society we live in right now is we don't have to wait for anything. You know, it's, we want it now. It's we're supposed to blow up now. You know, for the guys who want to be rap artists, you know, they want to blow up now. They don't want to go through the process. They don't want to go through the grind that made the best rap artists successful. The best rap artists out there now were underground for years, you know, a decade in some cases before they blew up. You know, but nowadays we want to with the world of social media and YouTube and stuff like that, we want to blow up immediately. The first time we post a video, we want a million hits, and we want to, you know, start making bank. It doesn't work that way. That's not reality, you know. And we got to apply that process in our lives. We got to apply the process that we make the decision, we act on the decision, we go through the turmoil, and we break through the turmoil. Once you have that breakthrough, everything that you went through prior to, you can look back and say, "Man, I made it," and it's another sense of accomplishment that you can have. But we have to appreciate the process, and most people don't appreciate the process. I love it. I'm looking forward to it, man. And I just hope that everybody just really take a step back and really understand the process.
You said a mouthful when you said just those very words: appreciate and respect the process. Dog,
yeah.
It is crazy out here to get folks to understand that it is a process. There is nothing wrong with respecting the process and riding through it. That will truly help you step away from or into that which is really intended for you. If you don't, if you just want to skip to the end, you don't want the middle, you want the beginning, you want the love feeling and all the da da da, and then you just want the end. You know what I'm saying? But you forget there's a middle there, and that middle really builds and glues things together. It gels. That's the gel. The middle is the gel. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you just go from the beginning to the end, there's no gel, so it's going to fall apart. It's doomed. It is doomed. You know what I'm saying? Don't rush, man. Don't rush, man.
Yeah. That's something you told me when I was a kid, man, that, you know, some things you say to me, I listen to some things, I'll be like, yeah, whatever. But I remember, man, we were in a car. We were heading on South Beachville going towards Wilkins Avenue. And I was talking about all these things I want to get. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, and you was like, "Hey, cuz, you know, slow down. You're living your life too fast. You know, slow down. Enjoy life. Don't rush your life." You know, and I find myself, you know, telling my kids that now because, you know, again, my 17-year-old, she's like, "I want this. I want that." I'm like, "Whoa, baby, you can't go from nothing to... Man, you're having everything, you know, you got to build it, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got to build it up, you know, and you can have all these things that you want, but you're not going to get it all in one bite." And I remember those things, you know, you really have to not rush your life. You got to sit back, you have to bask in everything that comes your way. You know, all the good times, the bad times. I look back at, you know, the way I grew up, and I appreciate it. Yeah, I tell my mother all the time, I appreciate the struggle that we had. You know, I don't hold any ill will towards her because of our past. It helped me become mm-hmm. who I am today. You know, mm-hmm. and if you look at everything in your life, again, as a process, and the process is becoming the best you that you can possibly be, you will definitely appreciate it. But if you don't look at it that way and you take it for granted, you're going to hate life. You know what I'm saying? And you wonder why people walk around, you know, people always say now, why are people so mad? Because they don't appreciate the process of life. And mm-hmm. once you get to that level, man, nothing will defeat you. Nothing will break you down. It's going to be rough. It's going to be challenging, and it might drain you sometimes. It might make you tired. But ultimately you appreciate life. And that's all I want people to do and understand.
Do you think that people, do you think you lose people when you get to that level too? Because you know, most folks are struggling, and they're struggling because, in all honesty, they're getting in their own damn way. So their struggle is really self-made. And then you come along, and they look at you like, well, you don't care about anything. No, that's not true. It's just that I understand that this was supposed to happen. You know? So since I understand that this was supposed to happen, I'm good. You know, this is supposed to happen. Yeah. I'm good on that.
You have no idea how many people, how many times people have said, well, especially in the military, oh, well, Sergeant Hall, you just don't care. No, I care about everything. But, again, that goes back to something else I learned as a kid. When my mother was going through her Narcotics Anonymous, she would bring home the Serenity Prayer. And I remember she had a project that she had to put the Serenity Prayer on this big old cardboard. And she had me and my brother helping her do the Serenity Prayer. And I've never forgotten the Serenity Prayer since that day. And I was probably like 5 or 6 years old. Since I was 5 years old, every once in a while when I'm going through some things, I'll say the Serenity Prayer. Because, again, you have to understand, the process of life. You have to understand that some things you can't change, some things you can change, and you have to understand what the difference is between the two. And that's just a short, you know, synopsis of what the Serenity Prayer is. And when you understand that and when you get that and you apply that to your life and other people don't get it, they take it for you don't care. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. And, yes, you do lose people along the way because – you don't. If you don't change yourself, if you don't conform to their way of thinking, then it's going to separate you. You know, I mean, they're still going to be in your life in whatever way, especially professionally. Professionally, you're going to have to deal with them every single day, but your relationship might change, and it's okay. But what you have to understand is that if that person doesn't ride with you, if that person doesn't go through the struggle with you, then that person is, you know, a hurdle or a blockage in your life, and you have to be okay with letting that person go. And the same thing with relationships, personal relationships. There are going to be people that you lose along the way, family, friends, or whatever, that you just, in your process, you got to shed that weight. And when you shed that weight, then, again, your breakthrough will be a lot smoother along the way. I mean, you don't compromise yourself. You don't sabotage your relationships. But, hey, in the process, if you lose some people, you have to be okay with that. Because, again, it's about living your life. You know, even if you have kids and you're married, you still have to live your life. And if you live your life and your spouse isn't on the same path that you're on, you have to give that person due diligence and opportunity to get on your level. But if at some point that person's not on your level and you feel like you got to shed that weight, then you got to shed that weight. You know, I don't want to oversimplify it and, you know, not appreciate, you know, the relationship, but it happens. And you have to be okay with it.
Now, I want to say to you that you've inspired me in that because when you said you got to understand and give them an opportunity to be in your love, it's like, yo, you're absolutely right. Even if you're married, in whatever kind of relationship you're in, you got to understand when you got to put the oxygen mask over your mouth first. And be like, I tried to work with you. I've given you time. I've given you space. I love you to death, but, you know, I love me. I got to love me. And there's nothing wrong with you loving me. And people kill me when they get upset when I say that. It's like, yo, do you think that other person is thinking about you? Because if they were, you wouldn't be in a situation where you were getting frustrated about their inactivity or their activity. So it's clear that they're not thinking about you. At some point, you have to take care of you. And if that means a separation, if that means a termination, then it is what it is. But you got to take care of you, because if you don't take care of you, how is anybody else going to be good or be able to take care of you? If you're responsible for taking care of other people and you're not taking care of yourself, how are they going to get taken care of if you're not taking care of yourself? It's just not going to work. It's not going to work. You got to know
that goes back to what we talked about last week, communication. You know, I'm very clear about what I expect, what I want, what I desire. There's no guessing with me. You know, there's no, and this is personal and professional. When, you know, when I had a staff of 30 technicians, I was very clear. What I want you to do is come to work, do your job effectively, tell me the things that you need from me, and give me time to produce. If you can't do those things, and I will go further individually. Hey, for this individual, this is what I need you to do. You know, my senior staff and stuff like that, my general staff, they all had different roles. And I would tell them individually what I wanted from them. So you're not guessing. And when you have that clear communication, and if you're not doing it, then that's when I feel like, okay, you're not listening to me. You're not thinking about me. You're thinking about yourself, and it ain't going to work. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, you get time, you get chances, you get, you know, in a professional atmosphere, you get counseling or evaluations, whatever the case may be. Those things allow you time to write your ship. If you're not taking the opportunity to listen to these counselings or evaluations, then I see that you're on your own thing. And if you're on your own thing, that doesn't coincide with our professional goals and our professional vision. So you need to be somewhere else. In a relationship, it's the same thing. It's a little bit more patience involved in it because you have a lot more invested in it, especially if you have kids and stuff like that. So you get a lot more leeway because, you know, some stresses on both ends and, you know, we got to allow each other to kind of jive. But I have my own clock. And if my clock is saying, okay, it's been 3 years since we had the initial conversation about what's not working right, and after 3 years, I'm just throwing out this number. It could be less for some people. And after 3 years, you're still not getting it, then I need to decide on whether or not I want to continue down this path with you or if I need to move on and go somewhere else. You know, but your responsibility, if I'm talking to you, your responsibility is to say, well, hey, I don't understand what you're asking me. Can you clarify? Mm-hmm. And maybe not, no, it doesn't have to be that kind of corny conversation where, can you give me some clarifying examples? It doesn't have to be that. Whatever your dialogue is, if it's clear, you ask questions and bounce things back and forth, then you have to see progress again on both sides. If you don't see the progress, then you got to evaluate and determine whether or not you want to stay in that situation or move the hell on. But people are afraid to do that. I'm afraid to do it sometimes, you know, and it's okay, you know, because if I'm afraid and I decide to say, then that's what I got to do. But again, everybody has their own path, and you really have to trust your process.
And you have to have faith in your decision-maker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You definitely got to have faith in your decision-maker. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying and being honest with yourself, we came into this thinking this way. Along that way, something changed. Whatever was the catalyst of that change doesn't matter, but something changed. So now we have to look at it from this way. And or we have to recognize that no matter what we wanted, this is what it is. And this is all it's going to be. Can we live with it being that? And again, I'm not being personal. I'm not being professional. I'm being ambiguous. So it fits all situations because this is true. You know what I'm saying? Can we live with it as it is? Or can we not? And if it doesn't fit into your big picture, then you got to let it go. If it does fit into your big picture, then rock it. Rock it out. Don't overguess it. Don't overthink it. Don't sit there trying to, you know, out-hustle yourself. Oh, man, well, but it could have been better and it could have been bigger. Okay, could have been, but that's not what we wanted. We wanted it here. It's here. Take it. Roll. Later on, maybe you get it bigger. Maybe you get it better. But for what we needed and what we wanted, this is what it was intended to be. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, jokers get caught up in stuff that don't matter for whatever their daggone reasons. I don't know why. But they get caught up in the super hype when it's not necessarily all about the super hype. It's fine and intended to be just like it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, but again, that goes back to the fear. You know, you were ambiguous. I'm gonna be a little bit more specific. In a professional, I like to talk about professional environments because I don't understand how people feel like they're trapped. You know, with the job, you're never trapped with the job. You know, as a professional, you're a free agent. You know, it's no longer
right.
The days where you have those company loyalists where, you know, people stay with a company for 30, 40 years and work their way up. It's not like that no more. You know, the corporation, they have limited loyalty to their staff.
Right.
And I say that because if you do something wrong at a job, you can get terminated on the spot if they feel like it.
Right.
You know, they can just be like, I don't want to deal with it. You got to go. You know, so the same kind of attitude should be done. The same kind of attitude can be taken with the employee. I mean, the employee towards the employer. Look, y'all effing up. Y'all messed up my paycheck. I ain't dealing with this. I'm gone. You can do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But people feel like they're trapped. Like, there's nowhere else I can go. You got this job, didn't you? So
well,
move the hell on.
You know,
I don't. Huh?
The same. No. I was just saying the same in life as there is in love. And our guest has joined us this morning. Good morning, Millie.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I am wonderful this morning.
And great. Welcome to the show.
So we brought you on because today is January the 2nd, and it's a lot of people that are breaking up because it's the new year.
And, that time.
And, you know,
the clock is struck,
it's
baby.
It's spring cleaning. It's winter cleaning. You know how that goes. Like, I only had your ass around for Christmas and Thanksgiving because I didn't want my mama to be looking at me talking about why you don't ever bring nobody to the house. So
right.
Now the doze is gone. Thanksgiving coming. I'm sorry. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and I need to let you know we ain't going to make it.
Well, on the flip side of
that,
I've seen about five people get engaged.
Ooh.
I've seen
really?
At least five people get engaged, and they put it on Facebook, so I'm not sure.
Well, yeah. Well, my partner, he actually went to Times Square and proposed to his lady after the ball dropped. And that was a beautiful thing, you know, but that's the thing about it. It's like, it seems like as the new year turns, relationships transition both ways. But
exactly.
I have seen engagements, but I've also seen a whole bunch of, you know, not necessarily breakups, but, you know, insinuations about breakups on Facebook already. And I've seen a, you know, why can't he do this? And why is she always doing that? And I can't stand this
beat. Oh, wow.
You know, so I've seen a lot of that on Facebook also.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so it goes both ways, definitely. But I think, you know, the point that Levon is making is that a lot of people break up after the New Year because they don't want to hit that Valentine's Day, that red box, and live up to that little expectation. What's that?
Well, I think it's kind of weird, though. Because I wrote an article, because this is what I do, also, and it's called Five New Year's Resolutions Ideas for Singles. And one of the first ones is to figure out what you want. I don't know how many people read the article at this moment, but the first and second one was important. The second one was clean out your mess. So maybe people are cleaning out their mess.
Yes.
And figuring out what they want. I mean, aren't we in an age and a time at this point in life, because I've been listening to your show, that we realize more and more that life is really a little short. And so we want
right.
to be happy who we're with and not be happy. Be happy and not be happy. You know, we don't want to not be happy. So get out, roll out, deuces, got to go. For me, I just can't. I can't afford to be unhappy. It's just not. I just can't afford it. It's just not something I can afford. The price is too high, in my opinion.
Go ahead.
What do you tell that person that's afraid of that process? You know, because, you know, when you're going into a new relationship, of course, it's a process. You have the courting. and you have, you know, the getting to know you, then you have the transition into a physical relationship, and then you get, you know, further on into moving in and out and sharing things and all this stuff like that. A lot of people are afraid to start over again, even if it's only been a year. You know, a lot of people are afraid to start over again and put themselves, again, the word of the day, through that process. What do you tell people?
Have you been out here? Have you single? Have you been out here?
Well, is it really that hard, though?
Yeah, it is. It really is that hard, because one of the things is I've noticed being a matchmaker is that just happened to me yesterday, but people that really I don't think people are being honest at all about what they want. For example, and then you're not having the conversation with yourself. You know, people say, oh, if you talk to yourself, you're crazy. Well, call me crazy, because I have many conversations with me, myself, and I, and, of course, God. And so I'm honest with myself, and I don't think people are being honest about what they really want. I can give you an example. Love to give you an example. So, you know, say a woman says she wants a good man. Well, what is her definition of a good man?
Right.
What is her definition of a good man? I have had a situation where I presented, I won't say the perfect guy, I presented a good-looking.
Good man.
Good man, in my opinion. He works, I won't say his profession because people don't know what I'm talking about, because it just happened. He works, he's a good man, excellent father, sense of self, educated, well-read, well-bred, everything. Very good.
Is that Levon? Okay. You talking about Levon?
Not, hey, no, there's another one. Besides
keep
Levon.
My name out your mouth.
You said besides Levon.
Levon is one of the most well-dressed dudes I know, but let me go further for my story.
You know.
And so I did all of that.
Oh, my God.
Right. I did all of that, and this lady, she's very successful, and she knows what she wants, so I thought it would be, you know, a good matchup. It turns out that it was not, and I'm confused.
She was crazy.
Because I'm confused.
No, she was crazy.
I won't say that. Well, here's the thing. We can't call people crazy. We can't do that. I'm not going to do that. Well, here's my thing. I think my biggest problem is with this matchmaking is that I found out a lot about myself, and I insert that into people, and you can't do that because everybody's not like me, everybody's not like you. Like I went on a date, I went on a date with, I won't mention any names, he knows who he is, Levon. And it was, I'm gonna spill it because it was just. We're friends, but it was just a great date, and it was respectable, and it was rare. You know, you don't get those kinds of things. So just politeness and respectful, and it was just nice. And I wasn't really used to that haven't been like that for a while. So what are we really looking for? Do you know yourself? Are you a good woman if you say you need a good man, and vice versa? If you say, I need a good woman, are you a good man? Are people asking these questions of themselves, or they're just jumping into, like you said, the courting and all that? People don't even do the courting part. It's rare. It's just rare. They jump into all of those things. Go ahead.
But that goes back to what we said. Okay, full disclosure, Millie and I have been on like 2 professional dates. There was one after an event. We had a great time afterwards. Then we went to an event together, and that was awesome as well. So it was all love. It was all peace. She went her way. I went my way, and that was it. There was no smoochy-smoochy, no kissy-kissy, no grabby-grabby. You do have a nice – well, never mind. But
no,
anyhow.
Hey!
No, nothing.
Hey! it was nothing like that. As she said, it was totally professional. It was all above board. It was a good look. So that disclosure is over with. But that goes back to what we were saying earlier. Not everyone, but there are too many people that want the front, which is the butterflies, the warm, the fuzzy, all good, and then they want the end. They want the instantaneous commitment after 3 days, 3 dates, 2 weeks, whatever. And it's like, yo, there's nothing in the middle that's going to keep us together. There's nothing in the middle. Now, cuz, you said, you know, you go from courting to intimate. I disagree with that. I think you should start a dating. You know, and most people don't know how to date. You need to date. There's nothing wrong with dating. Dating is not one damn person, folks. It's not one person.
I agree.
It's nothing dirty about dating. You are engaging in an activity in order to figure out whom you want to dedicate your time to. The next phase would then be courting, because then you shake the cage and you're like, okay, that mug is okay, but just ain't gonna work. You know what I'm saying? Then you start to build that laser focus, and you say, okay, this is the individual that I really feel like I have the greatest chance of success with, so I want to focus my time. So now you get to courting, and from there you can go, not necessarily all the time, but you can go to the physical aspect of it. Doesn't work in all cases with all people. Some people have
right.
that instant chemistry, that instant connection. It's a wonderful thing, and it works. It absolutely works. Nothing wrong with that. Most people need to give it some damn time, because then they turn into bitter brother and bitter sister sitting around talking about they ain't no good, y'all ain't no good. It's always a no good. And, you know, the constant in that equation is them, but they never want to admit that they are the constant in the damn equation.
Well, like, you know, yeah, and I understand that. They do that. And I've been out here for a while, and I'm also single. I think that in order to be in love with someone else or just love someone else, that you have to love yourself. And fortunately, I'm there. I am very much in love with my own self. Very much in love. I understand who I am and what I want, what I like, what I don't like, and I'm very honest with myself. So on the flip side, though, I've been guilty of going too fast, because when I found out about myself, it's really hard to find someone that I can connect with. So as soon as I found that person, I'm like, yes, we're ready. I'm ready. I'm down the aisle. And I had to stop. Well, because it's so rare. I mean, everybody doesn't like me. Although they should, and I don't like everyone. Well, I'm a little conceited, but that's cool.
Yeah,
I don't like everybody. You know, I don't like everybody, and everybody doesn't click. Like, for instance, let me give you a perfect example. For me, if you do not like dogs or semi-love dogs, you and I cannot date or do anything. Why? Because, and I'm being honest, I'm a huge dog lover. I volunteer for 3 organizations. I have a dog. And I had to realize it about myself. I'm kind of quirky. I had to realize I'd rather be with puppies. Dogs make better people. That's just how I am. And if you don't, I think God just did this to me, not positive, but I'm always seem to be in this situation. And sometimes my kids, where I'm saving a dog, he's running down the street. Me, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I have a leash in the car, and I have treats. I'm one of those girls that will get out and stop or bring the dog home, or find him a home, anything. If you don't get that about me, we can never, ever, ever be together if you don't understand that about me and cherish it. I mean, just me is honesty. I'm honest with myself. So if you don't like dogs at all, never had a dog, how is that going to work between you and I?
Yeah, but again, that goes back to what Clea and I talked about before, and the effective communication. You're laying it out, you know what I'm saying? So if the receiver is not hearing it and not really understanding it, then it definitely won't work out. But a lot of people...
Well, you know what? Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I just... What I you got me to talking now. I get turned off really quick, though. I get turned off really, really quick, and I can shut it down. I wish you could... If you heard that. I don't know. Just like that. Shut it down. I don't know if you heard it, but... I can shut it down so quickly. And I know where I got that ability from because I never used to do it. But now you can say one thing or you can do one thing, and I'm just like, delete, block. I just don't have time. What I'm doing right now is building an empire, albeit my favorite show, and leaving a legacy. When I'm gone, I'd love to leave something behind for my children. That's it, and that's all. I would love somebody who gets me and knows that if I'm up at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm not on the phone and I'm working on my business. I'm an entrepreneur. What do you mean? I'm working. I'm getting this font right for this flyer. I'm putting something out for my business. I'm a matchmaker. Hey, are you single? What's up? How are you? How can I help you? You know, I'm just always out there, and I'm always busy. I do sometimes.
You're always on.
It's rare. I'm always on, and that is also my downfall with dating. Because I'm always on, I'm never just Millie. I'm always Millie in the city.
Now, that was my question for you. Is when you say that, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, you could be working. I was about to ask you, could that be a downfall? Because you have to allow time for if you're always on. When does the person see you, and not Millie in the city? When does the person get to know you? When does the person get to date you? When does the person get to court you if they're not courting Millie Holmes, right? If they're not courting Millie Holmes and they're courting Millie in the city, are they really getting you, or are they getting the brand?
Both. I am Millie in the city, and I am the brand. This is me. However, I will say that I don't care what anyone says, people make time for what they want to make time for.
Right.
Even if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I just had this discussion with Glenn Wooten. And I got to get his stats, but just had this conversation. And he was like, you know, I hear people say that. But I said, I give you a scenario. Say, for instance, I think, Lee, you live a long way from me, but I drive. So if I really want to see you or you really, I don't care. You understand? So say, for instance, mm-hmm. you say, you know what? I got 15 minutes in between these shows. Meet me at the Starbucks. Am I a Starbucks person? No. But I'm going to meet you at the Starbucks. That's 15 minutes of time. You're busy. I'm busy. You know
so
what?
You're talking about compromise and sacrifice.
But for someone, like, let me tell you something. If I'm really interested and I know this person is interested in me and I really like this person, I'm going to hire an assistant so they can do the damn work and I can go out on a date. Mm-hmm. Period. I'm going to do what I need to do. If this person is interested in me, because I love men, okay? Hello, amen. I will make the time. If he says, would you like to go out on a date? Say someone says right now, would you like to go on a date right now? And I got a schedule because I got a meeting at 3, got some things to do. But if he says, you know what, my meeting is at a restaurant, okay, maybe my meeting will take an hour. You know what, is there any way we can go to this if you like this restaurant? Meet there at 4. Write that down.
Put it down.
No, but you understand? I'm going to make time today. Now, for instance, if you say, now, let's go out tomorrow, there's a problem. Dallas plays Redskins. I'm a Redskin fan. Okay, let's talk before 12. Okay? 12.
So
and then let's talk after 4.
The Washington football team, please.
I'm sorry, repeat that?
The Washington football team, please. We don't.
The Washington football team.
Please, we don't use that other word.
You know what? What you're not going to do? Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, but do
your
you understand
first,
what I'm saying? I'm going to find.
Y'all first
yeah, that's
fight.
That's
so
bad.
Cute.
Right. If you can't, no, we can't. No, anyway,
hey,
I will find time to do that. But I need you to ask me about, we're going to talk about personal stuff, but I need you, in order to understand me, you have got to be interested in what I'm doing. Even if you don't want to have anything to do with it, you've got to be somewhat interested in what I do, because I'm going to be interested in what you do, especially if you're an entrepreneur. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. And that's something that I always talk about is, you know, people want to try to quote the Bible and stuff, being equally yoked. You know, there's no way that we can function in a relationship if I have my goals, dreams, and aspirations, and you have nothing to do with that. Nothing. I mean, you're not, you know, morally supporting me. You're not supporting me by showing up to events. You're not supporting me by asking me, hey, how did it go? If you're not partaking in any part of my journey, then there's no way that we can be successful together.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like if I'm going to the left, even if you're not right there with me every step of the way, if you're nowhere in my vicinity,
I agree.
Then we're not a good match at all. And again, that comes down into even if you're in a long-standing relationship, things change over time. Again, we talked about the New Year's resolutions and goals and stuff like that. Then we have to be on the same page. If we're not on the same page.
Well, somewhere near. God, can you be on the
right,
third?
Or somewhere near. If you're not in my freaking atmosphere, if you're not in my galaxy, you know what I'm saying, then we can't survive. And we won't survive. And a lot of times, you know, again, but what it comes down to is what you spoke about earlier and the sacrifice and the compromise. You know, if one spouse is going to school, the other spouse isn't going to school, then the spouse is not going to school might have to sacrifice some things and support the spouse that's going to school. But things like that don't happen. You get the jealousy to come into play. You get the competition to come into play.
Oh, absolutely.
And all those things destroy the relationship because of a minor change that's supposed to better the relationship that ends up destroying the relationship.
Yeah, and it's so it does, because I get turned off, like I said, really, really quick. And I had a date with somebody used to date when I was like 18, I don't remember, 17. And, well, he grew up, I grew up, and I had a date, and I just came off of, literally just came from an event. I had a relationship forum that Levon never comes to, but I digress. No, I'm kidding. But I just came off of that, and it was huge, and it was big, and it was wonderful, and it was great. And then we went to IHOP, which I don't mind because it was last minute. And, of course, you know, I can get, you know, crepes, but, you know, I digress. So we went there, but I was on my high, and he was very boring, and he was just like, I'm just excited. And I was just waiting for him. I was like, yeah, I just had an event, and I was excited. Didn't care. All he cared about, so what you feel about me now? When we gonna hook up? Wait, what?
Oh, wow.
Hold up, what? And it was just, I was like, okay. I said, I am doing these things. I'm excited, and this is going on. It was hard to get in the Millie mode because I was just came off there. I was so excited. And he just blew me. And I was like, yeah, well, of course, I didn't really delete him per se, but I might have just not called anymore. At all.
Sounds like a damn deletion to me.
So it's a virtual delete. But what are the biggest challenges that you face as a matchmaker?
Just getting your text message, Levon, by the way. Because I dropped my phone in the toilet, but I digress. Goodness gracious. Because I do speed dating events and things of that nature, and in the relationship forums that I have had, a lot of men, there were men there that I thought were very honest, and one of their complaints were a lot of the women that they thought were not very honest. One of the biggest things came up was money and career.
We live in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Northern Virginia area, so that is a turnoff for me with women from PG and D.C. It's a turnoff. You don't ask me what I do before you even know my name. Don't do that. At least ask me my name.
Oh, it happens
first.
all the time.
What do you do? Like,
it happens.
Seriously, like, you don't even know who the hell I am. Ask me my name first, please.
Or I get those women I've heard, and it's so sad because I love my women. I'm a woman, and I try to defend them. I heard a young lady say, because the first matchmaking, the relationship forum that I had, they were interested in, can I say his name? Okay, I can do it. His name is Onyx Lithicum. good-looking brother, you know, a writer and everything. And the name of his book is not coming to me, but a couple of women said, hey, you know him? Can you give him my number, stuff like that? What does he do? How much money does he make? I'm like, wait, how am I supposed to know that? I mean, all you had to do was just say that and leave that out. So, like, what are your intentions? Like, are you serious? And then, like, we're cool, we're friends, so therefore, no, I ain't giving you. I mean, I'm going to take the number from you, but I ain't going to give it to him because he's not going to call.
Because
he's going to ask me what you said, and I'm going to tell him. So I don't know. I think that people are not really talking anymore. There's no communication. I think that's the biggest challenge. Because you got the men, the single men, talking about women like we are just the worst things on earth. And then you have the women saying, no good men, this, that, and the other. And everybody's talking at each other and about each other, and nobody's talking to each other, which is why I was having my relationship forums. I just had my finale series. Nobody's really talking to each other. And then as soon as the last one I had, as soon as a man would say something, they jump down his throat. And I'm like, this is not a roasting session. Listen to what he has to say, and he's being really honest. One guy said he was married, and his wife was there and family. They kind of crashed my event, but in a good way. And he was like, well, if you don't let me do it and you don't let me treat you this way, then I can't do it. If you don't let
me. Right. You ain't going to get it. You know, I think that's a really big part of it because, again, when you talk about the women who say that there's no good men, first of all, like you said before, you have to define what you mean about what you call a good man. And if you see that good man and that good man is trying to do the things that you say a good man does and you don't recognize it, then that man will stop trying to do those things that you say a good man does.
That
and
is
it,
one.
And it's really that simple.
And two, a big thing also, like the second form I had, this guy, oh my gosh, what it is if you had come to one of my forums, then what I did was I had men and women, single men and women, write down questions, okay? Now, you can own up to your question when it's asked, or you could just keep anonymous, okay? So say, for instance, one of my questions is, why don't black, I don't know, that's, let me see. One of the questions from a man was, why don't black women treat, wait a minute, something about black women. He just went on and compared us to white women. He had three separate questions. Why don't we
affection?
Do this? I think it was one, why don't black women work out like white women?
No.
And why don't black women appreciate a good black man like white women appreciate? It was just crazy. And they lit him apart, but they didn't know it was him. They lit him apart. And so what I'm wondering is it a big issue? I mean, every time I hear a black man speak about a black woman, not all the time, but a lot of times is we're difficult, we're moody, we have an attitude, and such and so forth. And I'm just like, so white women are easier, which I'm just like, well, you don't know the white women I know because they're far from easy. And they do reports on this. I saw a report on Facebook. I saw a video how black women are docile and more, what's that word that I can't stand? Oh, it's in the Bible.
Submissive.
I forgot. There we go. They're submissive to the white man. Notice how they talk around their white husbands and stuff like that. It was interesting,
right.
But I'm just like, docile, I'm not. I'm just not docile. And I'm just, it's a big issue. It's a big, huge issue.
Well, I think I think the wrong thing he did was compare it black and white, but
oh, he did it.
I think it's wrong, but I can see why he said that. He probably said that based off the things that he's seen on the surface. I mean, he hasn't done a study of 1,000 or 10,000 white women, 10,000 black women.
Good point.
But I think that you know what he's seeing in his personal experience is that you know the black women are probably you know are not. That's what I'm looking for.
Active
as far as
exercise. They're jaded.
Yeah.
They're upset, they're angry, and they have absolutely every right to be. We as men have failed them a number of times. However,
I'm not jaded.
However, they play a huge portion in that, and they have not taken responsibility for it. So what you do is you have too many young men that have been watered down because of the lack of male interaction with them. So they get older, they have no idea how men express themselves, how men handle crises. All they've seen is how the women around them express themselves and handle crises. All they've seen is how when someone is fed up, they act. They behave and what they say. So these young cats out here running around saying anything out the mouth, like, it's cool. They popping off, snapping off, like that is what men do. And men don't do stuff like that. They don't.
Well,
they don't.
Here's the solution to that problem. Have a son. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I got that.
I have a son, and it changed. I did all of that. I was rude, loud, rude, crude, still a little loud, not rude and crude. But, I had a son. And my turning point was when God kind of kicked me in the butt, and I was talking to a man like I was crazy. But I have a son. I don't want any women talking to him like that. And,
right.
You know, you guys, your men are strange. I love you, but you guys are weird. And
well, you know, everybody's weird, though.
Everybody's weird, but you guys are much. Well, first of all, let me say this: I have a father. Hey, Dad, I know you're not listening, but still have a dad. I have three brothers, and I have a son. So they are a lot more simpler than we make them. You know, they're not women. You know, and they are very simple in what they like and what they don't like. I talk to a lot of men. Here's the issue with that, though. Let me just, and you're going to be mad at this. I have met and seen a lot of the opposite, though. Diddy calls them BANs. I won't say it on the radio, but I will say.
Can I say it on the radio?
Okay.
Yeah,
so can I be honest? Let me just say this. I have, I am supposed to have the breast and the vagina, not you. You're not supposed to have the breast and the vagina. I have them, small, albeit. I like them. We had this discussion, Lee, so don't go there. But I have them, and I don't want you to have them because I can't do that. I just wrote an article about drama queens, male drama queens. When did that happen? And it's a whole breed of them. And I'm just
where did they come from? They've been coddled by their mothers into...
Oh, Lord, coddle my child. Oh, Jesus.
What
do you mean
coddled?
My son is spoiled.
I'm telling you, that, but not only that, it's... We get pressed by all different sides, and I've said this a million and one times. So you're young, and you, when you're very young, you're allowed to cry. That goes on to about two, maybe three. Then about that time, you start crying, and everyone around you says, stop crying. You sound like a little girl. So you stop crying. So that lasts till about, you know, your teenage years. Then you start dating or your preteen years. Then you start getting this interest in girls. And that goes back and forth of, you know, you're so handsome. You're so cool. Oh, okay, cool. But then in your later years, your mid-teens maybe, your late teens, depending on how fast you are in your developmental stage, maybe even your early teens, you start getting letters from some girl talking about you act like you don't care about nothing.
Right.
What am I supposed to do? I don't know if I'm supposed to cry. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So, you know, your boys walking around, they trying to be hard. You trying to be hard. So you're dating. Now you are hard. You have no idea emotionally what the hell you're supposed to do. The other side of the spectrum is, you have a mom, for whatever reason, there's no male figures around. She's yelling at you all you see is her yelling, you yell, she accepts it instead of knocking the taste out your damn mouth and putting you down because she don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? So you grow up thinking that that's how you're supposed to handle conflict. That's not what men do. Men don't argue. Men don't argue. We say, okay, and we knock you the fuck out, or we say, okay, and we just stand there and take it because we understand that your ass is going through an emotional state right now, and that's okay. Be emotional. It's going to be over pretty soon, and once that's over, we can calmly discuss whatever the hell we need to discuss later on when you've calmed down, and that's cool. That's what men do. Men don't argue back and forth. When have you seen two grown men argue back and forth? That's not what we do. We either knock you the hell out, or we just stand there and accept it. That's all we do. There's no
in between. I feel bad. That's what men do. I yell at my son all the time. I yell at my son all the time, and he's like, okay, are you on your period?
Right, you know what I'm saying? But how old is your son?
He's 17, and the funny thing about that is I take him, I'm a believer in nepotism. So I take him to my events. Although it's older, I pay him to do stuff. And the last event that I had, somebody asked a question, and he wanted to answer it. And what he had to say was good to say, but they shooed him away. Mm-hmm. And after the event, two grown men said, you know what? He had more to say, and they should have let him speak, actually. We would have loved to hear the rest of what he had to say because he had a point, and he's only 17. The problem is they said that women just don't listen. If they would have heard what that young brother had to really say, yeah, they would have heard what women really had to say, you know, what men really had to say, then they would be surprised. Shay?
But hold on. I got to get this in. I got to get this in, and we got to start to wrap up. That is a problem.
Okay.
It's a problem because we have fallen victim to the pussy. We want pussy so much, so bad.
To the what? To the what?
We want pussy so pussy. Pussy.
Oh, wow.
Pussy.
Okay.
We want pussy
yeah, okay.
so much and so bad. Well, you kept
wait,
saying the what, so I wanted to make sure.
Well, I was like, wait a minute, I just couldn't believe you said that, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. We want it so much and so bad that we have lowered our standards and our expectations from females. And there's a difference between a woman and a female. So what you get is these folks, again, saying whatever they want to say out their mouth instead of being checked or instead of somebody walking on and saying, you know what, I'm not going to deal with you. You're going to talk like that. You're going to act like that. You're going to be like that. I'm not going to deal with you. Not going to deal with you. But, again, the pressure comes. So you got to prove your manhood because you fear someone's calling you gay because you ain't slept with 20 women in the world. So you like, all right, Keisha, that's cool. I'm just standing by to get that ass. And then as soon as you get the ass, you leave. And then she's standing around talking about, oh, only thing you wanted is pussy. No, that's not what I wanted at first. But once
right.
you kept pushing and pushing and pushing and got me in that corner, I said, well, hell, I got 6 months invested. I might as well get the payoff. So I'm going to get the payoff. And as soon as I get the payoff, I'm going to cash the check and I'm gone. You know what I'm saying? So that starts the cycle again. But you're right. Women don't listen. Women don't listen because they have the control. Too many of them have been under this spell that they are princesses, and not enough of them understand that their ass are frogs. Some of them are toads. Some of them are frogs. No, just because a princess has a responsibility to be royal, to be dignified. You are not a princess when your ass is walking around here wearing anything, saying anything, swearing at your children, talking trash to your children, snatching up a little three-year-old. That's why I don't take your ass nowhere. You little this and that. You're not a princess.
Oh, I don't
that
do
way.
That.
No,
oh,
you're not
talking
that. You don't do that. But the majority,
I do.
I'm saying in the majority
I cut my kids out, but I don't do all of that, though.
Right. But you are not a princess.
I got cussed out.
When you start crossing those lines and making those types of decisions. But so many folks have fallen under this princess guise and spell that they feel like they can do, say whatever, and a man is just supposed to take it. Because if you hit
well,
me, you ain't a man.
Do that. Well, if
you know
I can't
if,
do that.
If you disagree,
that.
If you disagree with me, you're not the man for me. You ain't supposed to get every goddamn thing you want. Everything is not.
What do you mean?
You're not supposed to get everything that you want.
What you mean?
I would love to get everything I want,
what
Lee. Come on.
No,
Lee, I want to get everything I want. I'm exhausted. I want to get mostly what I want.
Okay. See, there you go. As your man, it is my responsibility to provide you with the things that you need. The icing on the cake is when I walk through that door, cross our threshold, and then give you some of the things that you want. That's the love. That's the love is the thing, providing you with the things that you need. That's absolute love. The continuance of our dating process, the continuance of our courting, which you should always do, is me at times being able to provide you with the things you want. We have so turned away from understanding that there's a difference between a want and a need. We are so focused on our wants that we've forgotten about our needs. What you said earlier about building a legacy, leaving something, I'm smiling because you know you and I have had this conversation.
You know that's
what I'm all about. I'm all about building that legacy and leaving something for those behind us. Too many people are just focused on the now. That's why they make the stupid-ass decisions that they make, and their lives are going the way in which they're going. You know, it is what it is.
Well, people make stupid decisions. Go ahead.
I got to cut you off because we got to run. But we definitely want to have you on again. We definitely want to have you on again. We appreciate you so much of coming on with us this morning. Please let the folks know how to get in touch with you if they need your services.
Okay, well, you can email me at Millie, M-I-L-L-I-E, in the city match at yahoo.com. My website is www.millieinthecity.com. I'm on Facebook under Millie in the City Matchmaking. I'm on Twitter and Instagram under Millie in the City. And I have a dating website coming out. Hopefully it'll be up and running by next week called www.lunchmaybedinner. It's a very unique dating website, unlike any other. I'm so excited about all of that. And just in case, I have a speed dating event for couples, for not couples, but for single people, February 13th. You can find all that on Facebook.
Can I add something to that? Lunch, maybe dinner, and if your ass is nice, it may be breakfast.
Not sure if you can say breakfast like that. But I'm really, really excited. Just want to let you know, I do have sponsors also who help me and collaborate with me, and that's DCNightlife.com. They also have an app coming out as well called City Life. L-Y-F-E, it's going to be huge. We're trying to do big things here.
Cool. Well, thank you very much.
It sounds like it. I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you. You guys have a great Saturday.
We'll have you back soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, peace.
Bye.
Because it wasn't enough time. It's not enough
time
to say that.
Yeah, man. Always a good conversation, man.
That's what's up. Hey, man, you always want to leave him. One more, you know what I mean? Family, please be safe throughout the weekend, you know, as you travel to and from, wherever you travel to and from. Again, Happy New Year, Happy 2016 to you all. Cuz, you got anything to add before we dip?
No, I think we said it all, man. Do good things, be prosperous this year. Keep your head up, keep pushing, and enjoy the process of life, man.
Hey, y'all be safe. We'll holler back next week. Peace.
Peace.